We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 25th, the day before Thanksgiving. Jeff Erickson here. My co-host guest is Alan Slislawski of the DFS Army, also known as RotoWire super fan as well on the SiriusXM Fantasy show. Alan just did the Thanksgiving Day draft with Liz, Scott Pianowski, Dalton Del Don, Brian Burns, and myself today. Alan, how you doing?
I want to thank personally whoever canceled as your guest and that I got to take their place. You know, their loss is my gain. So thank you to whoever that
is. You did this last year too. You're locked in now.
I appreciate it, man. You know, I'm pinching myself a little bit because you know how highly I think of you guys and the show and the content you put out. So to be sitting here with you and talking about this stuff, this is cool for me.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And hey, you brought it today. It was fun. You had commentary. You were funny. It's all good. And your picks were funny too. Kenny Galladay in the six could work.
I mean, we'll get to it when we break down the draft. But at that point, you know, when we get into that part of the draft, you're talking about players that went in that round that are probably 5 points or less. A zero is not going to mean that much in the 5% chance that he plays, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I get you. I get you on that one. I'm the guy that took Dez Bryant in the seventh, although he actually did play last week. I think he's going to play on Sunday. And let's start with that. The big news, and this happened towards the end of our draft, they announced this, that the Thursday night game between the Steelers and the Ravens has been pushed back to Sunday afternoon for now. They've had now 7 players with positive tests, meaning, you know, they're not just close contact, they're positive tests. So they're out this week.
Yeah, you guys talk about it on your show that it's anything goes. And if we just get NFL football, especially that it's in the same week, I'm happy. So I expect all these type of things to happen. We also expect, as you guys have highlighted as well, that the NFL is going to play NFL football. There's too much at stake. There's too much money involved to cancel games. And these players are in their peak athleticism. The chances are that even if they catch COVID, that they'll make it through. And again, I know that's a very morbid view, but they're going to play football. So it doesn't surprise me. I'm just happy they're moving it back within the same week and not canceling it altogether, like you said, for now.
Yeah, and there are 2 players in the NFL that have long-standing health issues and won't return this year. The second one is a Bills tight end that was announced this week. He's got myocarditis. myocarditis, I believe. I can't pronounce it right, but
well, you're a myocardial theorist, aren't you?
I'm becoming one. It's a rapidly evolving industry, but it is an issue there, though. I mean, it's Eduardo Rodriguez had it with the Red Sox and never came back last year. Only got clear to walk on the treadmill like in October. So it's a pretty longstanding thing there.
Yeah, they have you've heard the term long haulers. It's amazing how COVID, and we won't get too much into it, is that how it affects certain people quickly. They get back in. You hear about a player getting exposed to COVID in the NFL on Monday. They're back in the game and clear it on Saturday, whereas other people are just going to have long-lasting effects. So you know what? We really don't know. We've taken it for granted. I mean, everything we've seen on television so far, it looks like real NFL football. When I sit down on Sunday and I watch all the games and we're on Twitter and everyone's going back and forth, it really hasn't affected us. It's just something we kind of expect, like, oh, this player's out for COVID. Okay, no problem. Who's the backup? But we haven't really had a game cancellation other than what happened earlier on with a delay.
Yeah, we had 10. Yeah, we haven't had one that hasn't been made up yet, unlike college, where it's just crazy. But we've had games that have been postponed. We've had others that have been impacted significantly. It comes to mind, like Packers-Niners came to mind for me, the Thursday night game that they chose to play, with despite like multiple players on both teams missing that game. And then the Raiders have not being able to have their entire starting offensive line practice that week, only to be activated from the close contact reserve on Sunday morning, with the week that they got blown out by the Bucks. I felt like both of those games, they were impacted, in the game itself by that. And I feel like, and the thing is, these seven players for the Ravens, they're not playing on Sunday either. So there is that. It's just they're worried about more positive tests. I guess that's the line of thinking here.
Yeah, you said it exactly right. I mean, but from fantasy perspective, I mean, we're hyper focused on a gambling perspective. I could see where the offensive line, all these other players that we don't draft for fantasy, it really does impact it. And it does impact it for the running backs and the wide receivers as well. But it's interesting. It's like, as long as they're out there and our fantasy players are playing, I know it's very odd to say it like this, but let the games go on, right? I mean, we just did our draft, and in the middle of the draft, we found out that game was moving. What was our overall reaction? Oh, we'll just count it on Sunday. I know it's very callous and cavalier, but I mean, this is our escape. I mean, this is how we get one of our sources of enjoyment from playing this awesome game.
Right. So if you still haven't done a Thanksgiving draft, well, I'd recommend just doing the two games, because this Pittsburgh game, hey, they might push it back again.
Or pick a random third game to include in that thing. I thought that was a cool idea. How come you think no softwares like the NFFC, one of our favorites, hasn't picked up on doing this and creating a format? I mean, every year we have to do a Google spreadsheet. I do one of my home leagues after I heard you guys do this. I run the spreadsheet. Why do you think that the software?
I like the local nature of it, though. It wouldn't. I want to the Thanksgiving thing. I want to do that with friends. I want to do that. I don't want to do it with random people.
No, I meant just to have a software to host it. Like, there's
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a question: can they monetize it?
So maybe we should invent it, because there is a company. I don't want to give out a free plug on your show, but it's fantasypostseason.com. They have all the postseason stuff. You just pay them a small $20 fee, and you're able to have host these postseason drafts.
I didn't know about that site. So I'm glad hey, give them the free plug. If they have it, give them the plug.
They're a small company. They're unbelievable. We've been using them for 5 years for postseason NFL, postseason basketball, and then you could set up a snake draft with your friends, slow draft, timer, the whole thing. And the only, they don't do it for Thanksgiving. So, like you said, I was wondering why nobody does it. But this feels very looking up the numbers in USA Today. It's not done live. You have to wait for the results to whoever plugs in the numbers. It does have an old school early 90s feel to this draft.
Yeah. It does. So let's talk about the draft. You were slotted at the wheel, drafting six in a six-team draft. And it's tough. When you only have six teams, you have to have a quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, and a flex. We dug in pretty deep here on this one here. Did you come in planning the double tap running backs as you did with Connor and Edwards in the first round and second round?
I did, because we did a draft like this, I told you, for Thanksgiving yesterday. So I made the mistake of going for the quarterback early. And obviously, Deshaun Watson is the primo player that you want in this one. But I kind of felt after he was off the board that it didn't really matter. I could see any of the quarterbacks, including Alex Smith, putting up 17, 20 points. So I knew the running backs ran out quickly only because I had done a just draft. So to me, it was whatever two running backs were there, including DeAndre Swift. You'd asked on the Sirius show where DeAndre Swift would go. In a game like this where we're only paying out the top prize, I think that, you know, you just swing for the fences.
I'd agree. Because let's say if today we found out, like right now this second, that Swift was going to play, I'd probably have him in my top 10 this week. Because with concussion, you know, it's not like you're going to ease him back in. He's either in or he's out. And, you know, he had a limited practice on Tuesday. He's trending in the right direction. Still has to get cleared, obviously. But, you know, at the same time, it's looking pretty good.
Let's assume that Detroit gets a coach that we all like offensively next year. I mean, DeAndre Swift's going to be in your top seven or eight running backs. He's possibly like a late first round pick in 2021 drafts, don't you think?
I'd agree. I'd agree. I've got him in my one dynasty league. And I was nervous for a while because of his usage, but then you saw him play and you're like, okay, yeah, he has a bad drop every once in a while, but he can play.
He's
got the juice.
He's one of those guys where you see him on the field, you're like, oh, that's the top running back guy. I think I personally think he looks better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but yeah, I'm glad that you're on board, and the fact that you got him in dynasty, I bet you someone took Cam Akers ahead of him too, right?
No. Okay. Someone did take, you know, RotoWire co-host, good friend Scott Genstad took J.K. Dobbins, the pick right before him. And of course, Taylor and Edwards-Helaire went before him as well.
In the first round of our draft, you picked third. You took Antonio Gibson. With all of the J.D. McKissick, the world loves you in PPR leagues. Why did you go there versus, you know, any of the other players that were available?
Gibson does catch passes, first of all. He doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, not as many as McKissick. But he's become the goal line guy, I think, and he's just a darn good player. The last couple of weeks, they've kind of started to use him a little bit more than they had earlier, and I like the matchup against Dallas. I know they're a little bit tougher against the run, but Cook still ran pretty wild against him on last week. I still think he's got a pretty good matchup, and especially in a short week, I like the running backs a little bit more.
Yeah, if anybody wants to see this draft that we're talking about, I put it on my Twitter as well, at Alan Sislowski. So I know you put it up on yours as well, right? Yeah. So you could click on that link, and as we're talking about it, you could actually see the picks. So it's pretty cool. I as a fan of your show, and as you know, a super fan, because I don't miss a show. I don't even really – I know you love baseball, and I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I listen to you guys talk about baseball because I enjoy you and Chris talking. So that is – you know, so I learn about baseball just from listening to you. And circling that back to the point of I was listening to you guys do this draft, and then when you would talk about it, I would click on the link. So I'm talking more to the fans like I'm talking to myself here. Nice. I like to follow along this draft as you talk about it.
Yeah, and this was a fun draft. It's at Jeff_Erickson for those who aren't following, and at Alan Sislowski. Check it all out. So yeah, I went Gibson. Thought about Swift, thought, well, maybe he'll come back to me. Probably won't. List was being cagey, wouldn't say what he was going to do, because, you know, he didn't want me to, you know, it's like I was going to follow him in this draft or something. But it was a consideration. I was thinking maybe Edwards would come back. And you said you have, like, Connor and Edwards right there at the top for you, though, among running backs this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously things have changed because now that I have Gus Edwards as my RB1 above Zeke. Now, I know Zeke looked good last week. Mm-hmm. And, when I made that statement, Edwards was playing on Thursday. Now that we're playing on Sunday, I mean, there is some percentage chance that the two COVID running backs
are back. There's a chance. I think
okay, good.
All right, I think these
good.
Guys are all actually tested positive. So, I mean, it's like 14 days, if I'm not mistaken. For them, it's one thing. It's okay. If you have close contact, then you can then you can come back within 5 days. But I don't think these guys are coming back. I think seven of these guys are out, including their two starting centers. Their top two centers are also out.
I didn't know that. And you've talked about on your show a lot that sometimes the center, and you called it brilliantly the Jenga block that kind of collapses the whole thing. I didn't know about the centers. That's good information for anybody who's doing DFS, who's doing these drafts. The center sometimes can be the death blow. But Gus Edwards, I think he was leading the team in carries over the last month or so. I didn't have to look at it up exactly, but I know he wasn't the most productive if you include last week J.K. Dobbins' mini breakout. But Gus Edwards is a good running back. He's a restricted free agent next year, Jeff, and I think that whoever signs him next year is going to be a smart team. It could be that the Ravens re-sign him, but circling back to your question is to see that anytime you can lock in 15 touches and in a good offense, I trust the Ravens a little bit more than I trust Dallas. That's why I had him ranked over him, but I knew Zeke would go one or two anyway.
Yeah. Matt Skura is one of them. And then Patrick McCurry, both should be out. Skura had just been benched because of his debacle snapping the ball in the monsoon game against the Pats. But I think they're down to Tristan Colon Castillo. So Colon Castillo. So it's something to watch for there. But anyways, going back to the Thursday games, the other injury note is Terry McLaurin's listed as questionable in this game. He's got an ankle thing. I just thought it was kind of a rest day sort of thing, but now he's officially listed as questionable. And yeah, he's the first wide receiver off the board in our draft. And, you know, he's right there with like Will Fuller and Deontay Johnson, Cooks and Claypool, all his considerations. It's a pretty good wide receiver slate, actually.
Yeah, you were right about that, is that I almost thought about going double wide receiver. I had Terry McLaurin as my first wide receiver as well. I mean, you know, questionable. You're not in a draft like this. You're not going to worry about that too much. You don't want to pass on him. I guess you could have taken Deontay Johnson there, or you picked Will Fuller, who I love, because that's a swing for the fences with a floor as well. I would have probably picked him over Terry McLaurin. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's questionable. Terry McLaurin, doesn't he strike you as a guy that's going to play through things? You've mentioned before that he's QB proof, and we'd love to see him with a competent or above average quarterback. So even the questionable tag, of course he could, but I keep an eye on those things, but it wouldn't affect how I drafted him in a draft like this, which is $1,000 ahead, you said, right?
Yeah, for you. But the rest of us are paying $20.
Yes.
It's the thing. Well, looking at the quarterbacks, I mean, everyone loves Watson first on Thanksgiving. Then I think it's kind of close. Like, Big Ben went early. I got Lamar Jackson the fourth round. And I'll be honest, I wasn't planning on taking him in this draft, but I thought there was some value there in that point. I mean, I have him in my rankings this week. Let's expand beyond just the Thanksgiving games, even if it's been moved. But I have him 12th in my rankings. I have him actually behind one spot behind Ben. It's still pretty low considering where he was drafted, what he did last year. You know, this is definitely not the same guy.
My friends who were listening to the draft and some of my colleagues all said they screamed through the speaker that I didn't take Lamar Jackson on the 2-3 turn there. So they're in line with what you're thinking. Lamar Jackson, he's one play away from the 70-yard run. I mean, I know he's disappointed relative to his draft position this year, but yeah, I think that's a miss by the league. Getting him in the fourth round, I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, if you have to pick out certain players just the whole week, forget just the Thursday night, that can win you the week, he is one of them. So even though he's disappointed, that is a wise pick. Now, I have a decision to make. Maybe you can help me out here, because I've been hearing this question a lot. Lamar Jackson or Taysom Hill? That's an interesting debate right there. Do you have a preference this week on your value meter, one over the other?
20, you win again, right? We're even talking about this. Lamar Jackson 12, Hill 14 for me. I think he gets figured out a little bit as a quarterback, at least this week. We'll see. Vic Fangio is a pretty clever defensive mind, so I think that kind of contributes a little bit to that, too. You know, I actually, though, here's one for you. Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson this week.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, right? Derek Carr, one of those players that nobody wanted in August. Yeah. He was on the waiver wire this week, and what does he do? He's just producing well, and Gruden, he's got that team playing well. I still think you take Lamar Jackson here. I know, you know, the matchup is not ideal, but just for the reason I just said, it's that one play, that one thing, and just when the market's softening on him, you know that's when it's going to happen. You know, we talked about Hollywood Brown. It's going to be any any one of these weeks where that big play happens. It's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. It's not that he's been bad. He's just been bad relative to expectations. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not starting Derek Carr ahead of him, but I understand the question. Where do you have him in the value meter?
I have him 8. I have him in the top 10. I mean, it's a great matchup against Atlanta, mm-hmm. First of all. So I think that's one of the big parts of that there. I do expect big things from him this week, and he's been actively good. I mean, it was pretty, you know, we all got to watch the Sunday night game against Kansas City. He was good in that game. He was really good in that game. And he was really good against KC earlier in the year. There's been weeks where he hasn't been asked to do as much. Gruden doesn't want to have to air it out all the time, but, you know, he can. And I think that's something that wasn't true last year. Carr actually is willing to throw downfield. You know, he's turned Nelson Aguilar into someone who can produce at times, although he's still frustrating at times, other times too. But you're in praise of Derek Carr. 2020, yeah, and those, you win.
Yeah, I mean, it is unbelievable. Everything's been turned upside down, and it's interesting. I mean, think about the pass catchers though on Las Vegas. I mean, who would you rather have for the rest of this season? Would you rather have Aguilar or first overall wide receiver rookie Henry Ruggs? I mean, the rest of this 2020 season,
it's got to be Aguilar.
Right. I mean, it's not even close, right? I mean, that is amazing to me as well. But I think also that we talked about Carr and those big games against Kansas City. It just feels like those are the games where he had to keep up with Pat Mahomes. It feels like that Gruden spent the last 11 months just figuring out what they could do to match up with Kansas City. You know, it feels like that. If those two meet in the playoffs for some reason, I'm taking the points in Las Vegas.
Yeah, probably. I could see that. How are you feeling about Ruggs, like in a dynasty, though? Are you disheartened by this season, or is this just, okay, normal, what we used to expect from rookies, and he'll get better over time? Or are you genuinely concerned?
I'm not concerned. Ruggs is one of those players that reminds me of the Odell Beckham, can take the slant and go. And I think that was what's interesting is what you just said, is that he's following the trajectory of what normal rookies are, where they just, you want to see something in year one, you want to see growth in year two, and then by year three, it's lights out. The problem is that some of these other rookies are just going from the beginning, right? So that's what's disheartening about it. If we re-ranked them today, if we redid our dynasty rankings, of course we would take all the players that popped this year over him, but you know, if you got him at pick 11 in your dynasty league, or somehow he fell to pick 2.2, you're still happy there. But the real, you know, when you see someone like Michael Pittman come in right away and produce even on low target volume, it is disconcerting if you own Ruggs. So small concern, but not you know, I'm not selling him in. I'm not trading him away for less than I paid.
Yeah, more concerning seeing Justin Jefferson go off, and you passed on him for, you know, you passed on Jefferson for Ruggs, or for that matter, like I did, Jalen Reagor. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not doing anything drastic with Reagor, but I'm certainly wishing I had Jefferson.
Yeah, I want to see what that team looks like. You talked about is it, by the way, Reagor? I hear it so many different ways, but. Know. We're going with Reagor because that's what you said on this show. We'll keep it consistent. But, I mean, Carson Wentz is on the ropes a little bit, right? I mean, I do a weekly article called $0 Bidding, and I write about some three players each week that you're supposed to just pick up for a zero bid that could pop the next week. Gotcha. And Jalen Hurts is one of those players that I think should be added to your roster right now, because Carson Wentz has serious in-game benching risk, right? And if Jalen Hurts comes in, maybe that's good for Jalen Reagor long term. You know, as Jalen Hurts had these astronomical numbers at Oklahoma from a rushing perspective. I think it was something like 20 rushing touchdowns, and he did have respectable passing stats as well. So I think in a dynasty format, that's a player I might be looking to trade for if the dynasty owner of Reagor is looking to get out of him.
Right. And I'll say this about Wentz. Like, they, you know, Doug Peterson was asked if he thought about benching. He said he hadn't thought about it. But the thing is, the question's getting asked now. And, you know, before it was maybe more of a murmur, it's getting louder. And so you kind of have to wonder, you know, is that going to be something down the road? Because, you know, Wentz was pretty bad again. And some of this was the element. Some of this is, you know, he doesn't have Ertz back yet, but he does have, you know, and who knows what version of Ertz he'll have. You know, Ertz might play this week, but And it's funny because I mentioned on Twitter yesterday, I had a hard time ranking my Eagles. I put Wentz at 17 among quarterbacks. Home matchup against the Seahawks. You should be excited about that. All the Seahawks are getting better defensively, but I'm just not. Rieger, Fulgham, Ward. I can't be too excited about any of them. The only guy I'm kind of high on, two guys, Sanders and Goddard. I'll have them relatively high to their position, but the other ones I'm kind of got buried right now.
Yeah, it's not like Ertz was lighting the world on fire before. He was disappointing for fantasy. I know he was getting targeted. I mean, if you look back to the early part of the season, he was getting he was averaging about 8 targets a game over the first 3 weeks or so, but he certainly wasn't producing those monster numbers we're used to. So, I know that Carson Wentz is not had optimal conditions, and you guys have mentioned on your show it's not from any lack of effort. He is scrambling around, he's diving, but I think that, and someone asked when you'd asked to solicit some questions for the, I saw somebody asking about Wentz.
Yeah, let's address that.
I don't think you could start a quarterback where anytime you see a scroll that comes across the bottom of your red zone channel that says Ertz has been benched, and you're like, I mean, sorry, that Wentz has been benched, and that you're surprised. Any quarterback that has a benching risk, you just cannot start.
Right. Art Vandalay asks, 12-team standard, which QB this week, Ryan, Wentz, or Cousins? You know, if Julio doesn't play, you can't start Ryan, though. I'd start Wentz over Ryan if Julio doesn't play. If Julio plays, I'm going Ryan. Cousins versus Wentz. I mean, it's Carolina. I've got Wentz 17, Cousins 19, Ryan 20 right now in my rankings. Ryan goes above if Julio puts in like a full practice on Friday. Then I change my tune a little bit.
Yeah, I think you have the order correct. It's just that for how I would do it if it was my team is that I just would start Cousins, even though it's a slightly a tick lower of a situation and then Wentz. But I just, if I'm an important, this is week 12, Jeff, right?
Yeah.
And week 12, you're 6-5, you're 7-4. You need to win, or you're trying to fight for that bye, or just hold off the 3 seed and stick with that bye. You cannot take a 9 points at quarterback. So I would just go with Cousins, who seems to have a little bit better floor with the upside. Everything's, you know, going well over in Minnesota nowadays, right? From an offensive fantasy perspective, I would just be real goosey about starting Carson Wentz in any format other than being pinned against the wall in a super flex league.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that one there. I have the Wentz versus Ryan decision in one of my leagues, so it'll come down to probably Sunday morning. I'll decide on that one there.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you always pick the right ones when you do those last minute swaps.
Yeah,
that works out perfectly. Isn't it amazing how they never work out?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you feel strongly about it, in this case, I have a concrete reason. I think it's a little different then. You're like, okay, is Julio playing? Okay, then I'll do that. I have an either or. It's a little different, I think, and when you're just, oh, I've got this vibe. I read something on Twitter or something like that. You know, then you're kind of like, oh, okay. I think it's a little bit different than with the last minute thing. But you're right. The last minute roster changes are terrible. I just choose not to make a decision at all. Therefore, it's not a change.
and you get they're impossible decisions too. But I just think that I just don't know how I always get them wrong. Those last minute 50-50 calls. Like, it literally last week, the one I did was I benched AJ Brown for T Higgins. I don't know why I did it. And then you saw AJ Brown not only do well with a touchdown, but just go through the whole team on that push. So the point is well said, that don't do the last minute swap.
Right. Before we move on, quick note from ProSwap, our good friends there. Nice timing, Alan. Well done.
That was
smart. Sports bettors always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet, and that's why smart bettors use PropSwap. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. PropSwap sellers are always willing to negotiate. We all know bookies never will. And for a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash. Just use the promo code ROTO500. That's promo code ROTO500. And PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. All right. I'm talking with Alan Soslowski of DFS Army. Alan, I want to talk about running backs, and I want to talk about one we mentioned him in passing a little bit already, and that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I hate the matchup this week against Tampa Bay. I have him at 26 in my rankings this week.
Yeah, you can't run against Tampa Bay, but I have to go over to your value meter and check out who you have ahead of them. It's that it's the Kansas City running back. Just take the name off. If we were starting Darrell Williams there, if it was Le'Veon Bell there, would your ranking change? I mean, it's not really a function. This is strictly a function of the matchup, I'm assuming. But I can't imagine some of the leagues I'm in where you're starting two running backs and three, you know, two flex and, you know, 12, 14 team. You're going to have to start them in your season long. The question is, in a DFS format, where do you, there's probably better options, but I can't imagine picking someone up off the waiver wire, in a better situation. Who are some of the tough calls you've had to make?
Well, here, versus, I'll tell you some of the rationale for my ranking. It has nothing to do with the name. It's just that he's not getting targets. He had two targets last week, one catch. He did have five targets in the Carolina game when they were actually behind for a little while. He's had one game where he had heavy targets, two games, I should say, where he's had eight targets. Week two, when they were chasing the Chargers. Week five, when they were chasing the Raiders. Other than that, I mean, he's usually around two or three targets per game, maybe four. I mean, he just doesn't get thrown the ball a whole lot at Tampa Bay. I mean, we saw how tough they are against the run. I've got Zach Moss, Jerick McKinnon, and Carlos Hyde immediately ahead of him. So I don't know the San Francisco running situation yet. I'm assuming McKinnon's the guy right now. If it gets to the point where I think that we've got, you know, where instead it's like Mostert's back, then I'll change that. So he moves up one spot there. Same thing with like Buffalo. If I get a vibe on that one that changes a little bit where I don't think Moss is the guy over Singletary, maybe I'll move him down. Gus Edwards is the only free agent really that you could pick up and start ahead of him. I definitely start Edwards ahead of him. And even though Edwards doesn't catch passes either, but he's clearly the guy and will be against Pittsburgh. Ran well against them in their earlier matchup.
Yeah, no, you made a great case for that. And it's funny because they build him as the next Brian Westbrook. Yeah. I mean, I remember when Brian Westbrook caught 100 passes or close to it in a season. There's been nothing that's been less true this season than CEH is Brian Westbrook. But it's the touchdown equity that's appealing. But you made a great case. I mean, you look at Jerick McKinnon starting in the Shanahan scheme. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that's why, you know, one of my last checks that I always do is I set my lineups, my personal process, and then I go over to your value meter to see where you have them ranked. And if there's, you know, big differences, I start digging in, and that's when I, you know, do my research of why. So that makes a lot of sense. If you would have asked me just anecdotally of where I have CEH this week, I probably would have said a top 12, top 14 running back. But the players that you named, and the PPR format really does make the difference. I think that's something that a lot of fantasy players forget, that you need to catch passes or be the definite goal line back to be a top 12 running back each week.
Right. And I don't think there's any, you know, touchdown equity to be had. I mean, maybe there's a little bit. I mean, there's obviously it's not zero, but it's not very high this week because there, you know, it's tough to run it in against Tampa. So
that makes sense. That makes sense. And consensus wise, I think you have him a lot lower, and that's what I like. I don't mind being out of consensus. So I'd have to take a look around some of the other rankings. But yeah, I would imagine that that's quite a bit lower, but I think that that's a good play. You know, if they get around the goal line, who do you think is the most likely to score? You think it's Le'Veon Bell? Do you think they're just likely to pass when they get inside the 5 yard line?
I think it's more likely that they'll pass. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The Chiefs aren't afraid to do, like, you know, a shovel pass to the backup fullback, you know?
The underhand softball throw by Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Kelce to a fullback. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Did you see that? It looked like one of the – you ever watch, like, the women's softball when they do that that crazy arm spin throw? I've tried that thing. That's hard. But that's what it looked like when Kelce did that.
Right. So, one of the guys I do have above him is James White. He might be available in some leagues. Keep in mind, Rex Burkhead is out for the season with his knee injury. You know, White got nine targets last week against Houston. So I think he'll be similarly busy against Arizona this week.
Yeah, when you did your Captain Obvious waiver wire show on Tuesday, by the way, I love that. That actually makes the waiver wire show fun again. For those, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're definitely fans of your radio show on Sirius. But yeah, you guys identify James White as he's back to being James White that we thought about for the last few years. I mean, Rex Burkhead was having the best year of playing the best NFL football of his career. And we've had Rex Burkhead in our fantasy life for a long time. He's out. James White is back in. He is definitely available on waiver wire. And I think that if some reason he was skipped over, that's somebody you absolutely want to pick up. I love that you guys talked about James White because I forgot about him, and I paid pretty close attention.
Yeah, and I think that even once in a while he'll sneak in a goal line carry too if they're like going hurry up or something of that nature too. So yeah, I'm pretty optimistic about him. I think that he'll be someone that gets a lot of work there. A couple other guys I want to talk about at running back that I thought are interesting this particular week. I like Wayne Gallman against the Bengals, my Bengals this week. I think they'll have goal line carries to be had, and I think Gallman will get them.
Yeah, I mean, if Wayne Gallman, for some reason, some obscene reason in your league, is sitting on the waiver wire, all he does is score touchdowns and get you double-digit fantasy points. Let's forget about the Wayne Gallman that we knew. He's absolutely – I mean, where do you have him? What number?
I've got Gallman at 16.
Yeah, I was going to say he has to be a top 15 running back, especially with the matchup. And I love how you still claim ownership of the Bengals. I'm a Jets fan, so I'm right there with you. I understand the pain. But Wayne, going back to your question, Wayne Gallman, it's funny, like, because Wayne Gallman was on my team, some of my fantasy teams, for a few weeks, and then I dropped them, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Rest of season, right? I mean, no Barkley, no competition to think of. Anytime there's even a decent matchup, what a great floor for Wayne Gallman. I love that you have him inside your top 16 running backs.
Oh, thank you. Any others that you wanted to highlight this week at running back? Highlight, fade, as the case may be. Anybody stand out in this week's slate?
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing with Gio Bernard? Where do you have him exactly? I it's up, it's down, but in a few leagues, I'm pinned against the wall here, especially in a 14 teamer. I'm forced to start him, and I don't know. I mean, we talked about PPR with the what was it? Brandon Allen is now the quarterback.
Yep.
I don't know much about him other than we saw him in limited action. What was it, on Denver last year or something? Yeah. I'm hoping that Brandon Allen is one of these players that just is sees the rush coming and just dumps it off to Gio Bernard. I like him as a little bit of a sneaky play. I know it's been up, it's been down, but before it was down the last few weeks, you were happy to start Gio Bernard over Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I don't know about over, but...
I mean, I'm talking about like when Mixon was out, you're like, oh, Gio Bernard's getting me 15 fantasy points. I'm happy.
I mean, he contributed for a couple of weeks in a row. You're right about that. I my comment was a receding tide strands all boats. the thing is, he's been losing work to Samaje Perine lately. And... Yeah, the Bengals are in the – I think they're kind of in let's see what we got with the player X guy right now mode. At least they should be. And
yeah, evaluation mode. I mean, that's smart that you're saying. They want to see what they got because obviously they're going to make some changes on their roster next year and along with any team. So if you're not in it right now, you are absolutely looking to make some changes. So you have him – where did you say you have Gio?
I have him at 34.
Yeah, the ECR has him in the top 25, but I understand. Yeah, maybe you're seeing with poor colored Bengals glasses.
I'm
here.
A
maybe you're
just hating Bengals fan. You're right.
Yeah,
I like, and I'll tell you what, this ranking presumed that Finley would get the start. Now that we know it's Allen, maybe they won't be such a wasteland. I probably bump up T. Higgins too, I've got him super buried as well. You're right. I'm probably like. I'm trying to be too anti-Homer.
Yeah, the question really that I was waiting to ask you on here is, how are you solving the two Arizona running backs? What are you doing with them? I mean, we've seen their ADPs converge and change position, not ADP, but their weekly rankings, just cross many times. How are you doing it from here forward? Or do you not? Is it just a week-to-week proposition?
It's pretty much always Drake first if he's healthy. He's just getting more of the work. Edmonds can sometimes chime in, and he has more bursts, but I mean the touches aren't really that close right now. So I've got they're not that close in my rankings this week. I probably have Edmonds too low though. With no teams on bye, it's a little harder this week. I have him at 37. I have Drake in my in the teens somewhere. I have him at 13. So there's the gap's probably not that big. I should probably narrow that gap some. And I will. If Swift plays, Peterson and Kerryon Johnson get a pretty big downgrade right there. Those are two guys I take out. So that gets it a little. Well, actually, I have Johnson lower than Edmonds, but yeah.
Is there any particular reason that the NFL went with no buys on 12 on week 12, and then they have the final? What do you mean by Thanksgiving? Just because there's always Thursday games.
I don't ever recall a team having Thanksgiving week off.
Okay, so that's what it is. So the calendar just falls in a different way this year.
I think that's the case. I'm not speaking authoritatively here. That's all right. It's a total wild ass guess. Actually,
so I can quote you on that and post it all over social media and social.
Wild ass guess.
So put it on all my social media. Yeah. All right, and then the last guy, because you'd asked me about some players that I'm looking at, is, are you trusting Jonathan Taylor again? That we saw him get the 20 plus carries.
No, I'm not. I've been hurt before. 36 is where I've got him. I have him behind Hines this week in PPR. I think you could flip-flop it in standard, but Taylor's not good in short yardage situations. That's the dirty little secret.
It's funny. Everybody was so high on Taylor, and it could turn around, but
many third-round draft picks wasted on him.
Yeah. Are there any running backs that you can think of in the last decade that had as bad of a first season and then came back and actually delivered on their rookie hype or their rookie draft capital? Are there any that you can think of? Maybe Melvin Gordon, right?
How about Derrick Henry?
That's true. That is true. You know what? You're right. That's a good one, because maybe it was a workload question with him, but either way, everyone was like, oh, this is it. Now he's, he's probably one of the most valuable non-QBs in the league, right?
And, honestly, year two wasn't so great either. He had 744 yards and 5 touchdowns. He didn't really break out until the second half of 2018.
Right. He was caught in a two-man committee, I think, with DeMarco Murray one of those years, and that's when Murray was just signed as a high-priced free agent. That could have been explained some of it away, but we're not worried about workload with Taylor. It's just been performance, right? I mean, all the smart people over at RotoWire just have been talking about how he just runs into the line. He's not seeing the holes. And, so that's the concerning part about someone like Jonathan Taylor. So I actually just traded for him in a dynasty league. I got Jonathan Taylor and a second round pick for Austin Eckler.
Really?
Yeah, what the heck, right?
What's that second round pick going to bring you?
It's a second round super flex draft. So it's you keep everybody. So it's one of those where it's only the rookies are available. So in a super flex draft, I'll get the seventh best or eighth best wide receiver, or the the 10th best running back, or maybe the quarterback that falls through the grips of everybody. So, but it's more about it's I'm buying down in age by about 3 years and hoping he can turn it around.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Before we move on to wide receivers, let's talk a little bit about a quick mention from our other sponsor, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website, and once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager? Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, and 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, you can call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Alan, you're New Jersey, right?
Well, I used to live in New York. I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I just moved down to Florida about five years ago for a better life. But yeah, I'm a lifelong New Yorker. You know, it's funny. There's a comedian that had this great joke where he said that he was on a roll gambling and he was making a lot of money. I wish I remember who it was, but he said he used to go to Gamblers Anonymous meetings and ask everyone who they picked and who they thought they were, you know, who the locks were, and then obviously bet the opposite.
Ah. Real faith noise, if you will.
Yeah, not to make any despair and make fun of anyone's disease, you know. But do you now? You guys have that guest the line segment, which I know you joke about that you think that I love it because I like hearing your takes on it. Do you actually take that that intel that you put out? And do you sports gamble? Do you like to play the ponies a little bit with those?
You know, the thing is, if I could do it online in California, I probably would if I did it on my phone, but. You know, it's funny though. It's like I have so many outlets just in my fantasy leagues that I don't feel that urge. When I go to Vegas, I'm usually, I'm in the poker room rather than the sports book more often than not. And I think it's just because some of that's when I'm there. Some of that's I just know that I wouldn't be that great. If I put more time into sports betting, maybe I would, but. I think it's kind of a mug's game. I don't know.
It's a losing proposition. You have to go in thinking like, now you can try to get an edge. Now you guys talk to someone like Rufus every week on your Sirius show. And yeah, those guys have a true edge. Obviously it's tried and true. And they're winning like what? 59% of the time. I mean,
is that what it is? I didn't even know.
I guess something like I'm guessing it's that means you are like a sports betting champion. If you 59, you just need to get like
off of it. Sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, you know, in my best years, I broke even or made a little. It's just like, you look at over 5 years, you're never gonna, you shouldn't do it as like, hey, if you're just a casual sports bettor, just like, hey, I'm going to make money. But I was just curious if you guys put that to the test, because I think you guys have some interesting takes on the guest of lines, and it does help me form, you know, the few sports bets that I placed each week.
Yeah, I've done well in staff picks in previous years. I'm not having a good year this year though. I'm below 500. Although I had a good week last week at least, but
Well, you identified something interesting on your show. You talked about how home field advantage may not be the 3 points anymore.
Right. That's right. It might not even, it might be significantly less. It might be like a point.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. The Vegas calculation has to have thought of that, but if maybe we thought we saw edges where we did where they didn't exist.
Right. And I think that I think it doesn't apply evenly. Like the farther you travel is probably a bigger deal. Conditions, stadium might change things a little bit there. I definitely don't think it's the same sort of value that's been in the past. And I've been slow to adjust to that. And, you know, the game adjusts. You know, not calling penalties might, you know, take away some advantage from teams that were less inclined to get called in the first place. They maybe should be trying to hold a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I officiate high school basketball, and I see it all the time that, I likened hand checking in basketball to holding in NFL football. And the more we don't call it in high school, the more they do it. And I see that. And so if you get it right away. So when you guys often, you know, complain about refereeing in the NFL, I empathize a little bit with the referees. I see what you see, but I'm like, oh, they don't get it. You know, you have to be out on the floor to understand how difficult it is.
Oh, you do it.
Okay. So you know, it's crazy.
So how did
you
get into basketball reffing? I don't do like high school level or anything, just like you saw.
Yes. So, you know, I played high school basketball. I was the 13th man. Okay. I was, one of those guys that, not tall enough, not athletic enough.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But, I was a good practice player. I set the best screens, you know, things like that. They'd put me out there if they wanted me to collect a couple fouls. I love basketball. And then I played throughout my adult life in all the rec leagues. And I broke my nose like in my 30s playing. And I was like, okay, I guess I can't play anymore. So I just took a huge elbow. But I love playing hoops. So I got into the officiating about 5 years ago, and I love it. You know, I mean, just doing these big time varsity games in Florida down here, everything from just even YMCA ball on the weekends, I'll do, just to get around the youth and the kids and watch them develop from their skills. But yeah, I mean, I just love the crowd, the crowd yelling at me, the coaches are screaming at me, call me every name in the book. So yeah, I've been doing high school basketball for about the last 4 or 5 years.
That's pretty awesome.
It's, It's a you have to be a little, like, you have to have that thick skin, as you know. I mean, I don't care what level of soccer you did. You must know that the parents are nuts. Yeah.
This is AYSO, and it's supposed to be pretty calm and all that. But you get to tournaments and things like that. You start to play. Yeah, you start reffing games from other regions. I mean, even in your own region, it can be, you know, home games. It's kind of like, okay, some parents don't get it, but you get into, like, against other regions. Oh yeah, I mean,
it's crazy, right? Oh man. And so, if you have any, do you have any, like, war stories that are radio approved that you can tell?
I mean, nothing all that interesting. Just, you know, sometimes. I mean,
you ever give out some good red cards to people? Throw them out.
I've given a red card. I have given a few yellows.
Yeah, yeah. Just last night, I had to I double teched a coach and threw him out. And the problem is, now in high school basketball, you have to write up a report if you do that. So
yeah, of course, you're an evil man, Alan.
Oh, it
was, let them coach. Let them
coach. Dude, that's a great Bad News Bears reference right there. Let them play. No, he just said, he goes, he made, like, the most generic, there's a good game going on out there. You're missing it. One of those things, you know?
Okay. And that was worth a double?
It was that was the second of two. Oh, the other one
wasn't boom, boom.
No. And in fact, that's frowned upon in basketball refereeing. You're not supposed to give the second technical if you've given the first. That's a no-no in refereeing. So I did break one of our principles. Your partner is supposed to come get it and be a good partner, so it doesn't look like you have a vendetta. But, you know, my partner last night was not checking me, so I had to take care of business, as they say.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I come in there, I'm 5'9", I'm a goofy looking guy. So they see me, and these coaches just try to roll me. So I have to try to fight back with anything I have. I mean, if not, I'm just going to get pummeled.
Knock this battery off my shoulder. I'm not taking that from you. All right. I like it. Okay. Let's talk a little wide receivers before we sign off here today. So I alluded to my Philly problem. I have a hard time, even though it's a great matchup. Tyler Boyd, I have down at 30. I might move him a little bit up because of this quarterback news. The other one is Jacksonville, and I'm going to probably have to downgrade DJ Chark a little bit more. They're starting Mike Glennon this week.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I don't think it's fair that they benched Jake Luton. I mean, that was against Pittsburgh. Jake Luton, he reminded me a little bit of how he's playing, like, the worst parts of Drew Lock, where he's just this big guy throwing the football down there. I would give him another shot, unless now they're trying to keep up with the Jets and play for the bottom. Maybe Jake Luton was showed too much promise for them. But yeah, I agree with you with Mike Glennon. I mean, talk about a guy that might be just too tall. He's one of these 6'8" guys, right?
Could be. I don't have my Mike Glennon facts file in front of me, so
you're not a Mike Glennon theorist.
But I mean, Luton was overmatched against the against the Steelers. There's no doubt about it. He wasn't even that good the week before either. I get it, but Mike Glennon's 30. What's the point?
That's again, if you're going for true development, why not check out, you know, your big rookie, unless, again, smartly, they might be, you know, now that they might even say to themselves, hey, the Jets are looking pretty good for Lawrence. We don't want to lose out on Justin Fields.
Yeah, I was just going to say tank for Justin. I mean, and the thing is, they're only one game behind the Jets, and the Jets have started to play a little better lately. They're not quite laughingstock bad, although they did cut one of their starting corners and put the other on IR last week, but
I like when you say special bad. Every time you say that, Jeff, on the radio, it makes me laugh. You got to see me listening to your show. I'm usually riding my bike, or I'm laying in my bed going to sleep, and I just listen to podcasts, right? Okay. And I'm sitting there laughing like an idiot at the same jokes that you guys use over and over again. That it just gets me every time. So it's very funny that I'm sitting here rapping with you, and you hear you do the jokes, because I just
we do tend to repeat ourselves.
Well, you have a new audience every 15 seconds. That's you need
right.
to.
That is one of our standards. It is true.
I would have loved
this podcast too, although it's harder to find. You really much have to go here.
Right.
So I have Chark at like 23. I'm probably going to downgrade him after that. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, ECR has him outside of the top 25. I think you said it right. It's good player, horrible situation. I mean, if you have, you know, one of these high upside players, you know, like Curtis Samuel, you're starting him over DJ Chark, right? I mean, even Jerry Jeudy, you know, I'm just trying to think. Mike Williams in a bad situation.
Williams was the guy I was going to bring up.
Yeah, I mean,
I like him this week. And the reason I do is I think Tre'Davious White's going to be on Keenan Allen. So I think Williams gets more targets than usual.
If that happens, you know, Mike Williams is he's in play for a top 10 receiver. Nonetheless, where you have him, what, about 30? 25. Where do you, 25
this week. I'm up on him.
Yeah, you're higher about by 15 spots than ECR, so I like that call. I think that the market's missing on him. You know what? Maybe people are seeing that White might be on Williams, and that's the consensus thought, but what if they're wrong? Mike Williams might be a nice DFS play as well, so I like that call right there.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I think I'd be happy to use him, and I'm happy to have him in my leagues, and I think it is a good DFS play. I know, so you do a lot of stuff for DFS Army, and I know it's Wednesday. You're still probably working on everything for this week. What are some of the wide receiver plays you like this week?
Yeah, so DFS Army is, you know, the founder of it, this guy, Kevin Allen, the geek, he basically put together a group of DFS players, high-ranked DFS players, to help people learn how to play the game better against the tougher fields. So I defer to those guys a lot at DFS
Army. You don't do DFS as much yourself.
Oh, I'm not an expert as a learning student. So what I do for DFS Army is I'm more of the season-long and the dynasty guy, and then gotcha. I'm also doing a ton of the best ball work for them in the off-season as well. So that's my area of expertise.
Okay.
I'm going to put that in air quotes, by the way, expertise.
Expertise. Well, we all have self-awareness. That's a good thing.
Well, you know what it is? I borrow from brilliance. Basically, I listen to more podcasts than I think anyone on this planet. And,
except
you know,
baseball pods. I think Chris from Baseball Pods, he's the one that had the bracket for the baseball podcast bracket this summer.
I was Baron. You know, fair enough. You know, there's, you know, I shouldn't say number one, but I would say that of anyone I know. And what I do is I take all the best pieces from all the analysts like yourself that I respect, and I spit out the bones and I put that together and I use that to form, you know, and put that in with my opinions. And that's what I think, you know, makes us not expertise, but experienced players. So it's just listening to the crowd and then borrowing from brilliance. And that's how I form my process.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what have you heard then that is inspired you as for this week? Is there any situation you like for this week?
Yeah, we just talked about Mike Williams. So I had prepared a couple of the DFS DFS plays this week that I liked a lot. And I think that Mike Williams, if he's priced down, I have to look where he is on some of the different sites. But it doesn't matter PPR, doesn't matter half PPR. He's a player and you have to absolutely go in on. Now, Cooper Kupp might be a little priced up after that monster week last week, but I like him a lot if you're trying to find the budget running backs. I don't think a lot of players are going to be on Cooper Kupp. I mean, I know that. Where do you have him in your value meter?
I have Kupp pretty high. I have him at 9.
Right, but he just kind of blends into that area where he may. I mean, I know he had a big week last week, so that could have been. He'll probably be a little bit higher owned, but I saw enough there where they're going to feed him and feed him. So he's a player that I've seen over at DFS Army that they are trying to sneak in their lineups. He's going to be a heavy ownership within the DFS Army players this week.
Okay, Cooper Kupp or Stephon Diggs?
Oh, that's a good one right there. I still prefer a Kupp, but I mean, Diggs over delivered on everyone's expectation this year. And he's one of those automatic week after week, right? I mean, he's had to have surprised. If you drafted Diggs, that was one of the answers this year.
Yeah, for sure. I like him a lot against the Chargers too.
I was going to ask you from a DFS perspective, which Steelers wide receiver are you going with this week?
Deontay.
Okay. I just thought maybe you know, given the pricing, but yeah, no.
I'm looking at more. And that's the thing. I'm also not a DFS expert, but so I don't know the prices. I just, in terms of ranking the three Steelers receivers, I'm going Deontay, Claypool, and then Juju, because Juju's got the bad toe.
Mm, yeah. Now, is that, you know, we kind of hit on it on the show. I mean, is he really did trip over a penalty flag, didn't he?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I don't know if that's confirmed or so I can quote you again on that on social media.
Yes,
that
absolutely. Jeff. Extensively.
And then I was staying with the wide receivers. I had one question for you. What about Cole Beasley? The last time we saw him, I mean, he had a monster game.
Yeah.
That was a player. You triggered that thought when you talked about Stephon Diggs. Cole Beasley, if you look at his game log, and I know that's not a smart way to play DFS because it's all matchup driven, but Cole Beasley seems to have developed a nice connection with Josh Allen, and just coming out of the bye, he was, you know, a 20 point fantasy day. Is that somebody that might interest you?
I have him at 42. But yeah, I like him. I'll just say, you know, with nobody on bye, some of these decisions are hard. Like, for instance, Russell Gage had 12 targets last week. You know, if Julio doesn't play, I want him over Beasley. If Julio does play, I have to move him down again. Jerry Jeudy versus Beasley, or Corey Davis versus Beasley. These are tough calls to make.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it each week. I mean, do you do one, like, how long does the value meter take? I mean, is it, it's because...
Probably 12 hours on the first iteration of the week.
Right. I don't even know how you decide to make these. It's like, these are start sits for every position. I mean, you could literally shuffle some of those guys up and not be wrong. And what's amazing is that you do get it right a lot, because I told you, one of my last things, the stops that I do, is check your value meter to break a tie. So at least I can blame you if I get it wrong.
Well, there you go. And many do. And it's okay.
It's a tough life,
what
man.
We do. It's the life I have chosen. It's a hard knock life for me, but it's okay. I'll get over it.
That's great. That's great.
So, what do you tell everybody what they can find at where they can find you, what they can do, what they can find at DFS Army?
Sure, sure. So go to my Twitter, which is at Alan Seslowski, AlanSeslowski. Very easy, right?
Yep.
Or if you're an Instagrammer, Alan Fantasy Football. And also, I'm on TikTok now at Alan Seslowski. Now, not dancing, like I'm sure you have teenage children, right, Jeff?
I do. I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Okay, so trust me, there's no shame on adult men being on TikTok, right?
Sure.
There's not a lot of fantasy football content on there. It's pretty easy to get people interested in it. But yeah, I'm on those three platforms each week on DFS Army. Come on over, check us out, and in our Slack chat is where all the magic happens for DFS. And each week I'm writing a column about $0 bidding, which just got syndicated over to Rotoballer. Those guys over there have been nice enough to put up the article each week.
Nice.
So I just identify, it's a free article, I identify three players each week, which are players that you could add in the second run of waivers, which you guys always talk about as the best part of waivers. That's where you can find these little gems for free. So I try to identify three guys. All right. That's all the stuff I'm doing right now.
Very good. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. Alan, thank you for jumping on with us both on the draft today and now on the podcast, doing double duty.
Dude, this is a thrill for me. Honestly, this is going to make my weekend, make my year, man. I admire you guys so much as broadcasters that this is so cool for me.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. I'm glad you could do it. And we'll do it again next year, too. Everybody else, thank you for listening. Please, hit that subscribe button, rate and review us if you could, and tune in. I know we got a special Thanksgiving game podcast with Andrew Laird and Scott Jenstad. For DFS, and we'll have our regular Thursday podcast later this week too. We've got Mario and John doing that. So thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.